Welcome back. We're live, pal. Double G here with Andrew Zarian. What is going on, my friend?
What's going on? It's another week. Another week in this wacky world of pro wrestling.
Another week and always something to talk about. But before we get there, you and I have been in conversation. We'll let people into our personal text messages back and forth.
We talk all day long. Yeah, we talk all day long, every day.
So we've had the idea of doing a live recap show for some of these big shows because Denise does some of that, but I don't think she does WWE pay-per-view recaps. So we were thinking about, hey, you know, why don't we take the We're Live Pal show and do a little bit of We're Live Pal After Dark. And we're going to try on post-Royal Rumble. So we'll have all the information set up and the time and everything. But I just wanted to let folks know here because, every once and again, because of schedules, we have to miss a show. We have to miss one of these shows. But we want to make it up. And one of the ways that we can make it up is to do a show like a post-Royal Rumble recap. You know, it'll be a little looser. It'll be later in the evening. I'll probably have a glass of bourbon. Andrew might have some Pinot Grigio. So yeah, we'll try and make it fun. But it's not set in stone. It is sort of in pencil right now. We just got to make sure that everything is all good on the F4W side.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I used to do something called Matman After Dark. And it got so out of control because I used to have these... Actually, Royal Rumbles, when we really started doing it, I would always have these Royal Rumble parties. And it was every one of my degenerate friends from the neighborhood that I've had over for 15 years coming over. Everybody would get belligerent, and then we would get so freaking raunchy on this thing that I had to cut it. It got so out of control. And it wasn't me. It was everybody else in the studio, you know? So
Your name's on Matman, so it couldn't have been you.
It was not me. I was very well behaved, but I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we are grown adults. You know, we're not that we're old men necessarily, but you know, we've had enough fun in our day. We don't need to do that in front of the F4W YouTube audience there. But we'll still have some fun, and I think it'll be cool to kind of get the, like, the immediacy in the recaps, because when we do this show, we've usually got some time to kind of contemplate on things that are happening. But when you do a live recap, it's just sort of like what's on your mind. And so we'll have a lot of fun with it.
Garrett, I'm going to tell you, it's going to be a lot of people watching us when Dwayne wins that Rumble.
That's a nice little segue there. Did you see Dwayne's comments on CNBC earlier today?
No, I think what did he say? About the XFL?
They were asking him about WWE and his thoughts on the sale, and he just mentioned that, you know, whoever does take it over, like, has to have a ton of passion for the actual product and the industry. And so then they asked him about Vince, like, would you bring Vince, you know, if someone would buy it, do you think keeping Vince is a good idea? And he's like, yeah, that's a great point, because that's where the, you know, that's where the passion is, right? No one is more passionate about this stuff than Vince. But it was interesting. And his name has not been really floated other than from us. Like, we've talked about it. Like, what if The Rock got a group of investors together and sort of became the head, the face of the whole thing? But that, it was interesting that they asked him that question. I would have thought that they would have said, hey, Have you thought about purchasing this thing? But I guess they didn't ask him that.
You know, that kind of brings me to, I'm thinking about, like, how do you incorporate Dwayne in this? And regardless of who buys it or who doesn't, how is he not a committed ambassador for the brand? You know what I mean? Like, he has such reach with that younger, you know, male demo that they desperately
his social media is nuts.
His social media is all, you know, alpha male driven 18 to 40 something year old men that follow it. How is he not an ambassador for the brand? I know, listen, he'll forever be connected to the brand, but how is he not part of promotion and excitement for the growth of this brand? I've always wondered why. Like, what is it, a financial thing? Is it a time thing? Because if you're trying to appeal to a key demo, and you know you're trying to do it with a Logan Paul, and they're paying him this money, you can't do anything with Dwayne.
It's an interesting question. I've always found Vince and Rock's relationship to be kind of interesting, because you know, this is something that we probably need to ask Dave about. But if I was reading the tea leaves correctly from some of those old observers from like post Dwayne leaving the company, it always seemed like Vince thought that Dwayne was not going to succeed in Hollywood and would eventually just be back in wrestling. Like there was there was that time where Vince let the contract lapse. Remember, like Rock's contract had completely lapsed. And I think Rock was pretty upset about that nobody even tried to talk to him about it or whatever.
Is this the infamous Jim Ross forgot the Rock's contract is ending story?
Maybe that's the excuse that they gave. But the other thing is that, you know, Vince didn't really like some of the choices that The Rock was making in Hollywood. Remember when he did the Get Shorty sequel?
What
was
that show?
Be Cool? Was it Be Cool or something like that?
It was a gay dude he played on the show.
He played a gay person, and I think he like cut a lot of weight. Like, he got super skinny at some point, and like there was discussion that, you know, he and Vince didn't really agree on what his career should be, and maybe Vince was right, because then Rock just became, you know, the giant human that he is today and went back into action and stuff. So, but the interesting thing to me is, not saying Rock is interested in doing this or whatever, but what if he fronts the company? Then he doesn't need Vince necessarily, right? Because with The Rock comes like a specific goodwill. And then if you bring Vince in, there's a specific bad will. And it doesn't seem like that would necessarily vibe with who The Rock believes The Rock, what The Rock brand should be all about. Now, going back to your question about why he's never been, I always just sort of felt like there was a little bit of like, you know, Vince is in charge and The Rock isn't. And thus, you know, he doesn't want the one superstar that they created who is currently bigger than the entire company to be a part of it. That's just what I assume. This is nothing that I know about. No one has told me who's had conversations about it, but just sort of like, again, over the years, reading the Observer, reading the tea leaves, seeing the things that have happened, I'm sure they have a solid relationship, but it always seemed like this sort of alpha male kind of headbutting thing. And it's always intrigued me.
Yeah, I'm fascinated by that. I think he's a name that could definitely be brought in. Like, I think if like Endeavor were to buy him, I could see him being some sort of like the front facing guy for WWE, you know, as a visual ambassador. I can't ever see him wanting to run the thing. You got to be a maniac to want to do that.
Yeah. He would.
Vince is one of them.
Yeah, I mean, he would be the face, and he would have a team of people who he trusted. Now, what a hoot would that be if he was in charge and Triple H worked underneath him? That would be kind of funny. Who knows if Triple H would even do that? I would guess he would if Rock gave him, you know, a lot of the freedom. So, you know, they're going back to the Endeavor thing, but isn't Rock is with the other guys as far as his agency is concerned, right?
Yeah, he's the other side. Why is the name changed?
CAA, I think.
CAA, yeah. Yeah, he's with
instead
them,
of WME, yeah.
But everybody's connected in some way, you know?
Yeah.
Everybody's connected somehow.
Absolutely. You know, the Netflix one is intriguing to me because that's kind of like the future of where things are going. You know, the Netflix is ahead of the game as far as where things are going. And that is so intriguing because I mentioned this with Dave on Friday. The one thing that they're finally having to deal with is churn. Their churn rates have always been really low. But since Disney Plus came along, since HBO Max came along and all these other big streamers, they've had to actually deal with churn. So how do you, you know, limit the churn? It's like, well, you have like a weekly program that a large number of people watch and they will continue to watch if it is on your service, and that would be a way to stop churn a little bit. But all this stuff is so interesting. And I imagine, you know, this time in 2 months, the story will even be bigger. We'll still be talking about it, I'm sure.
Yeah, what do they have? I think the subscriber number is almost around 200 million.
I think worldwide it's over 200. It's like 220 it's or over something 200. Like that.
Yeah, let me see here. I remember it was like under two, like two, couple years ago. So they're probably at 200 million. You know, yeah, 20. Okay, so 223 million subscribers as of the third quarter. You know, that's far more reach than USA.
Yeah.
Far more reach than TNT. But here's the reality. Watching live content digitally doesn't translate the same way as it does with television, especially network television. There's still a disconnect there. The other thing is the ad revenue that you need to generate to sell these ads to kind of recoup your costs of, you know, a $8 billion company or $7 billion company, whatever the assessed number is. It's going to take you a while to get there. I don't know if Netflix has the corporate infrastructure in place to understand how to sell like that. They don't have a sales team like any other network because they don't really have ads.
Right. And they just started, right? They're working with Microsoft for the ad network piece of it. But you're right. They don't have it yet. They don't do a live
nobody
show.
Nobody in digital does. I'm going to tell you, nobody in digital has it. They don't have... You could tell me all you want that, you know, Jake Paul on YouTube gets X amount of viewers. PewDiePie is the number one subscribe thing. But the ad revenue that they can generate is a fraction of what you can on television. It really is. And yeah, the ball, it's shifting. If you go back five years from today and you go back to this, you're probably going to say Andrew's wrong here. Well, no, Andrew's right for the time being. It's an evolution more than anything else. And we're not there yet. I lived in the digital space, in digital ad sales, and I'm approaching two freaking decades of this.
Yeah.
Which is insane. I have heard the argument for years, and I've always been on the same pace. We're not going to be there until cable has essentially fallen apart totally.
Yes.
And it's going to force all these people to view content. The other thing is viewing content digitally, your mind is not used to watching long form content like that, especially if it's live content. So you need to retrain the audience as to watching a 3 hour program on a streaming platform. People's attention goes away quickly. This argument also exists for cable, but cable at least has the legacy viewership and the legacy infrastructure put in place to sell ads, which
absolutely
Netflix doesn't at this point.
Yeah,
I'm not against digital.
No. You're absolutely right. You're in the reality of this whole situation. The other thing about Netflix is they have always been anti-sports, right? Nope. We want to own sports leagues. We don't want to license sports content. So this would be a step in that direction. But they haven't even run a live episode of anything yet. The first one is going to be a Chris Rock special, I believe, in March. That they are going to run as a live experiment. So that's interesting, but still going from running Chris Rock as a live experiment versus going into live sports is like night and day, right? They would have so much work to get caught up on. And it's something that Apple's HBO, doing right now.
HBO tonight. I believe they're showing women's soccer, aren't they?
Oh, really?
HBO Max US HBO subscribers can now stream US international soccer games. Yeah, it's starting tonight.
But are they going to play ads during the commercials, or are they just going to fade to black for a minute and a half?
We'll find out. I don't know. It starts at 10 p.m. tonight.
I was mentioning Apple. Apple has the entire MLS network, right? So they're going to be showing live games. And I don't know if you've ever, like, there are these the MLB extra package or whatever, and then there's NBA League Pass, but they are showing the regional sports network feeds without the commercials. So like if you're watching an NBA game of a team that is not in your local market, let's say you want to watch the Knicks and the Raptors, and you are a subscriber to NBA League Pass, when they go to commercial, it's like some random stuff. And, you know, there's no, they say, you know, obviously there's no commercials because you're paying a subscription, but there's also nothing to do for the minute and a half or 2 minutes while they are in commercial. So it's like this weird, you're watching like something from the Twilight Zone during the commercial, and it's kind of a funky experience. But MLS with Apple, I think they're going to have to figure out how to create the ad network like we're talking about, because they have the whole, they have the whole package. There will be games, I forget if it's ESPN or whatever, but they have literally like every single game. They're hiring all these announcing crews. They're hiring, you know, the camera crews, because they want to sort of reinvent how people would watch soccer through this Apple TV situation. So this stuff is moving in the right direction, but I don't imagine Netflix necessarily wants to go there.
There is no commercials in soccer. The chat.
Well, there's at the end of periods, right?
The half.
Yeah,
the half.
Yeah, yeah.
But they go right in. But then they do like a halftime show. You know, a halftime report. They generally go into, and then a couple commercials. So very limited. Very limited. I'm very curious on the trajectory of this. I really am. This is something that I've always been fascinated by, on how long it takes and how when it, you know, I was told 10 years ago that cable would be dead by 2020, and that's not the case. And in 2000, we were told cable would be dead by 2005, and that wasn't the case. When YouTube came out, the same conversation happened. So, you know, it's really more getting people out of their comfort zone. I think it's going to take multiple generations to people for people to not subscribe to cable.
I think we're down to 70 million households, where the peak was about 105. So, it's, you know, maybe 5 to 10% a year. It's they're losing subscribers, but it's still the main. I was just talking with Dave about this. The NFL, when they re-upped their rights, they went for 11 years. So for the next 11 years, as we're talking about Netflix and all these things, in 2034, the NFL is going to be on NBC, ESPN, CBS, Fox. It's just, you know. So fast forward 11 years, we're still going to be watching NFL the same way that we've currently been watching it.
Yeah. Very cool stuff, though.
All right. What do you know about the communications guy at WWE, Adam Hopkins, leaving the company? That came out this morning. I saw Sean had a tweet about it. And I've heard nothing but sadness from the people who do the stuff that we do. And because he seemed like he was really the communication and the liaison to talent for everybody who's, you know, doing stuff like us.
Yeah, Adam was there for a long time. Adam Hopkins, he was there for a long time. He had multiple jobs. I think almost 25 years he was with the company. And a lot of people attribute the openness of WWE over the last, I want to say, 10 years in communication, especially with media, especially with this kind of media, pro wrestling media. They attribute it to him kind of opening that door a little bit. I could tell you from the time that I started podcasting to now, it's a very different relationship WWE has with media. They're far more open to talk to you and to kind of, you know, even if it's not the answer that you're looking for from them, they're still open to kind of giving you their version of the story. Which I think it's fantastic, and it's much like how the NFL operates and the NBA operates. There's still a lot of closed doors in that companies, but when it comes to communicating with media, but they had improved tremendously. I'm hoping that they continue down that path of openness, but Adam was there for a long time, and I don't know if this was a surprise. I don't know if he had planned on leaving. I know how good he was at his job and how much he enjoyed it, so I don't know what the exact reason is, but a lot of people, I saw a lot of people, but Denise was posting about it. I said something about it. But it seems like he was let go, but it wasn't I can't imagine it's a positive that they let him go. I'm curious why, because he was very good at his job.
Yeah, that's the thing. The curiosity is because, you know, it seems like he was thought very highly of there. So something either happened recently or, you know, he had an expiration date or something. Yeah, it was kind of interesting. So, you know, that kind of leads me to the discussion about when Vince gets back involved in the day-to-day and in the creative. I posed this to some folks, some of my friends, and said, if I put the over-under at the day after the Montreal pay-per-view in February, would you say Vince would come in before then or after then? Because I can't imagine he's not involved in some way creatively on the lead-up to WrestleMania.
I said this on Observer Live. Everybody, you know, a lot of the questions were, is Vince going to get involved in creative? Do you think he is? He's not. He is. I don't see how he doesn't. I don't know how he's not involved in some capacity. He's executive chairman of the board. It's his company. I have a very hard time believing that if he's not a fan of what Hunter's doing on TV, that he's going to sit back and say, well, this isn't my department. He's not wired like that, that guy. I expect him. I think he's probably suggesting ideas now. I'm almost certain he is, in my opinion. Nothing that...
Well, I mean, that's what they said, right? They said Triple H in those meetings said to the talent, at least this is the information that we have from the reports of those meetings, is that he said, yeah, you know, Vince and I talk, but I ultimately have the final say. The thing that I would watch very closely are the ratings, because if the ratings, you know, you're just looking for signs for Vince to have a reason to be involved again. Yeah. And like if the ratings, you know, maybe they don't bounce back as high as they want to next week after no more Monday Night Football and you're doing this Raw 30th anniversary show. Would you ever thought you would have seen Raw Triple X on the screen, by the way?
No, that's and you know,
Raw Triple X.
I mean, that's wild, right? It's wild that's the logo. And but you know,
do
you
a search on Google for Raw XXX.
I don't want to.
It's not gonna. You're not gonna get wrestling, I'm sure.
Whatever you do, do not search by image. Okay, whatever you do. And there you go. You know, it's mostly. I'm looking at it right now. I just did it. Right. I'm on line one, line two, line three, line four, and then on line five it starts.
Oh, man.
Oh, my God. Very inappropriate stuff, Garrett. You made me look up.
I know. I was curious. I was like, I was, remember when they did WrestleMania 30 and there was the Triple X in the logo? I was surprised that they did it then, because just because of what the Triple X will bring in. But hey, this is I guess they're not scared of that stuff anymore. So back to the Vince thing. I'm just gonna, like, any sort of drops in these ratings I'm kind of interested in, because now people would say, well, why would he care? Someone even asked me this today, like, you know, this guy could have sat on the sidelines and cashed a giant check and just been chilling. And I was like, well, that's not what narcissists do, right? Like, I imagine it's eating him up inside that the post Vince appreciation that was happening for Triple H and everybody involved. The company was doing great. They didn't fall off without Vince. I imagine that was eating him up inside. Like, can you imagine? Because the sort of, if we look at kind of the rise of when WWE started hitting on more cylinders, again, it was post WrestleMania, and that was not a Triple H wasn't even involved in creative at that point. So, you know, people are giving Triple H all this credit for, you know, oh, Raw is back. By the way, Raw is still the most boring wrestling show to me. But Vince has got to be like, this was me. This was not anybody else other than me. And I feel like he's going to look for any small piece of information that lets him know that in his mind, he needs to be back in charge in some way.
Well, the Vince apologists, I mean, even within WWE, early on when, you know, when those ratings started rising, they all said, oh, this is just temporary. It's just the illusion of change. It's not really major change. And I half agree with it, right? Like, obviously there are things that they've done that I could see Hunter's fingerprints all over, but there's also some really hokey stuff that they've continued doing with no direction, where, you know, it's a very WWE way of doing things. So listen, Hunter can't change things overnight. These are fundamental processes that they've put in when it comes to creative. This creative team, the writers have been shell-shocked for decades in that company that you're only writing for one guy. You're only appeasing one guy. It's very difficult to break that philosophy. Great example. I was brought onto a company as a consultant. Okay. Mm-hmm. This is 4 years ago. And it was because the CEO left and they needed some guidance as to what they're doing. So they brought in someone in a transitionary position. He wasn't going to be full time. I had known this person. So they brought me in to continue his way of thinking because the company was doing well. All of a sudden, people are saying how great the company's doing with this new guy running the place. And yeah. All we did was look at the playbook that was left to us. You know, it at the end of the day, a lot of it is optics. A lot of it is what people think is happening. But to be honest, you know, the ratings did drop a little bit. You know, the ratings, it hasn't been a consistently amazing Monday Night Raw, right?
I still find the show pretty boring.
Same, man. And it breaks my heart to say that because I have to watch it. You know? I don't love Monday Night Raw. SmackDown, I've enjoyed throughout Vince or whoever's been there. It doesn't matter. But, you know, there a lot of it is things that have been put in place already. Now other things, yeah, they've been able to modify plans and they've been able to modify things, but they've still kind of stuck to it. This Uncle Howdy stuff is insane to me, by the way. I don't get it anymore. Do you?
I never thought it was all that interesting. Like even when Bray came back, I was like, okay,
and that's marketing not a Vince thing.
The marketing to that stuff was very intriguing. It was very creative. They were doing stuff that it was a little bit outside of the box, but to me, it was always like, okay, yeah, he's going to come back, and then he's got to wrestle, and then when he wrestles, it's not going to be exciting, and then we're all going to turn and be like, why is this guy in, you know, this guy's boring or whatever. But, you know, I'm with you. Uncle Howdy is kind of lame to me. It's any time, you know, we do this sort of fantasy stuff where you can turn the lights out and things secretly happen, I'm kind of out on it. We've seen so much of it from the days of The Undertaker and Kane. You know, every time like House of Black, every time the lights go out, I'm just like, come on, like let's
Sabu!
Do something else here.
No, I'm just waiting for him, just one hand in the thing. But I'll give you another thing as far as, you know, writing for TV goes. It's sometimes it's beyond like writing the best show that you can. Sometimes yes. It's the marketing department and the sales team and the merchandising team get together and they say, wow, listen, we had such success with those Bray Wyatt masks and those Alexa Bliss dolls. We need to continue this. So what are we going to come up with that's intriguing, that's in the same lane as those things? Oh, you know what? What if we had another mask to sell? I think that's a great idea. Well, how about like a spooky mask, and we could call him Uncle Howdy, and we could sell the hat, and we could sell the mask, and we could sell the cape, and what a great Halloween outfit, right? These yeah. are all conversations that dictate what happens on TV.
Oh, sure, for sure, absolutely, 100%.
You know, Mattel agree. Plays a big part in this, so it's not so much Vince having to book the best wrestling or Hunter booking the best wrestling for you as the viewer. It's okay, what can we put on TV so we could sell also for revenue? Mm-hmm. And that's where it gets muddied because you're going to have some really crappy ideas. That shark cage match that they did a couple years ago, that was a Mattel deal. That was to sell merch, you know, and I'm willing to bet that the war games that they brought into Hunter finally got it, but they probably sold it with, hey, listen, we could sell this as a toy, a double yeah. ring set with two cages. We could sell this thing for $120.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. You know, it is that marketing side that you very much understand. Whereas fans, you know, who are trying to get back into the wrestling piece are just like not interested, but there's a give and take. They are a multiple billion-dollar company, not because of what happens inside of the ring necessarily. It's everything that Vince wanted to create, right? The pomp and circumstance and the music and the being able to sell t-shirts and all that stuff. That's why they're, you know, and they could sell to a TV network and to say, hey, put this product on and you're going to give us all this money for it. some of it is in the in-ring. I'm not saying pro wrestling is not pro wrestling, but a lot of it is just the the things that are sort of outside of the ring that make this stuff popular.
Yeah, absolutely. Listen, when I started off in my bizarre field of whatever the hell I do, one of my mentors told me something amazing. He said, the way that I always think is you need 17 different avenues for revenue, mm-hmm. right? 17 different avenues. So what are the 17 different avenues you have? You know, obviously every company is different, but these are all things that come into play.
Where does the number 17 come from, by the way?
I have no idea. And I swear to God, you know, I honestly, I don't know why he said that, but it's engraved in me.
Yeah.
Like I use that daily in my meetings, in my pitches, everything. I always say you need 17 different avenues. And it can't just be Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, right? Like if you're talking a social media avenue. No, social media is its own avenue.
Sure.
So come up with more avenues. I think it was more like a thinking exercise that he threw, but you know what? He would bust our chops, and we all had more than 17 different avenues for revenue. This is how these guys think. They're not thinking for TV all the time. They're thinking about every other thing, and that's why the last 2 weeks everybody's talking about a sale and nothing about TV.
Yeah, totally. You know? And the timing of it, right? Because they're going to want to sell before those TV rights are, or at least before you're negotiating that stuff, especially if you sell to a media company. Because if you're a media company and WWE sells the rights to a different media company, then you don't want to buy it, right? Because now for the next 4 years, you're licensing content from one of your competitors. So the timing of this whole thing is super interesting too. All right, let's fast forward a little bit here. Royal Rumble is not for another almost 2 weeks, and like we said, we're going to try and do that live show after on this channel. Cody Rhodes is back, and he's going to be on that show. Easy Money says, "Yeah, he should probably win the Royal Rumble." This tells the story. He even did the tweet, said "finish the story" or something like that. And this is a nice, perfect story for the Cody Rhodes who came re-debuted at WrestleMania last year. Very popular, kind of an almost now because of the CM Punk thing, like an underreported loss for AEW. But definitely hurt them a bit. And do you think that this story is going to be as easy to tell as I think it should be? Or are there going to be some hurdles along the way? And maybe Cody doesn't win the Rumble, but I can't imagine a better winner than Cody for a shot at WrestleMania.
Well, I think a lot... I tend to say this every year where they kind of book themselves in a little corner here with how they get themselves out, and they get themselves out every time, and I'm surprised happily. Right now, you have one guy that has both title belts. They've unified them in some capacity. You've essentially told the story that he is unbeatable. He's demolishing everybody one by one. Whoever beats him has to really beat him. It can't just be this half-ass thing because you got to make another guy. They had that opportunity with Drew McIntyre and Brock Lesnar, but the pandemic happened and it really screwed him up. I feel terrible, and I say this on Mattman all the time, but there was nothing he could do. So now they have another opportunity to redo this. Is Cody the guy? I think it should be. I think you need a babyface that's likable. He's that all-American hero in WWE's eyes. Yeah, this is right out of their playbook. Why not? But what happens with The Rock? What happens with both titles? Do you come up with a scenario where you split the titles in some capacity? And now it's not Cody and Roman, and it's Cody and someone else that gets the title off of him. There's these different avenues they could go down. I don't know if it's going to be Cody beating Roman for the title. And how do you even do that if he's facing The Rock? I don't agree with Roman working two nights.
Mm-hmm.
Because that weakens him and it weakens the win on the other person.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, I agree with you.
I mean, maybe a scenario would be you split the title somehow. He goes off to face The Rock, holding one title. The other title's now vacant. Cody could have a match with somebody else, but then did it really mean anything for Cody to win the title? How do you see this playing out? I mean, this is fun, the fantasy book, but...
Yeah, I see it exactly the way that you say. If he doesn't beat Roman, then it doesn't work as well as him beating Roman. I think that should be the goal, right? If you want to anoint Cody as the next guy, he's got to beat Roman. He can't just beat Seth again. He can't just beat Brock Lesnar. It's got to be Roman because that's the guy. That's who you've been building this entire thing for.
You want to hear my WWE trauma booking of this? Like the trauma that it's caused on my brain over the years of being a WWE fan? I got it for you, okay?
Go ahead.
They have a match, Elimination Chamber, okay? It's Elimination Chamber. Roman's in Elimination Chamber. He loses. And Paul Heyman comes out and says, no, 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 you don't win both titles. It was only one on the line. Look at the contract.
Yeah.
And then Vince Russo bros all over my phone, right? That's how it works.
It could definitely be something like that. I mean,
Can you imagine, it's
cheap, but it's an out. And I would just love to see. And again, this is why, sort of like you, why I don't trust in what should be the natural story. It just doesn't seem like it's like they will do something so predictable, even if it may make the most business sense. Now, I guess we'll have this. We'll probably know at least soon if The Rock is going to be involved. And just the way that he hasn't really said anything about it, you can't imagine, unless they're like, hey, you can't say anything until we announce it or something. But, you know, the guy is doing stuff on his social where, I don't know if you saw this, but, you know, he's going to, he was at, I don't know if this was recent or if this was in the summer. It may very well have been in the summer, but he's trying to promote the XFL. And one of the ways was, you know, he was trying to fire up the guys, and there was an offensive lineman that he kind of called out, and he's like, you want to go right now? And so Dwayne lines up like he's a defensive end. He gets in his 3-point stance and they blow the whistle, and he's supposed to try and get around this offensive lineman. And they blow the whistle. Dwayne jumps off the line and then does a Ric Flair strut the other way, going like, no way am I going to mess with you. Like, it was great. It was tremendous. But it's that's where his perfect, mind though. Is, right? Right? His mind on CNBC was talking about Zoa, his energy drink. He's talking about XFL and where they're going there. He's still got Terramana, which is, you know, according to him, the highest debuting spirit in history or something.
It's not a bad tequila, I'll tell you.
I dig it. I like it. I like the
I like it better than
very
it,
much.
It's way better than Conor McGregor's whiskey.
Oh my God.
Like, if you were to compare like level of quality, it's a much better product.
And the loyal listeners of this show have heard this story, but I'll just retell it again because you mentioned it. John Moxley on my podcast said that he went to the airport and he asked the bartender at the airport, does anyone ever get proper 12? And the bartender said, yeah, the first time.
That's such a great line, too.
Yeah, yeah. So maybe that's our hook for... After Dark is maybe we just sip on some Terramana.
Oh, you know what? I'll go get some.
I have some in my freezer. Yeah, I have some in my freezer. All right. So, you know, of course, I have the same worries as you about, you know, the story is so good and it's so perfect. And yet we still don't know what's going to happen with the Sami thing, right? Like, I would expect Sami and Kevin Owens maybe to beat the Usos for those tag belts. Like, that would be a great moment. But it just seems like these things are a little bit too easy, and maybe it doesn't happen because they are too easy. Is there anything, what other than the Sami and Roman thing, is there anything else in the current WWE storylines that is really like grabbing you?
Not really, man. The Bloodline stuff, Cody returning. I mean, it's Rumble season, so my interest is a little bit more peaked, but you know, they had a lot of hot momentum with certain things. Like, Randy Orton and Riddle was really hot last year. And that fell apart, obviously. Well, Randy's really hurt, but and then Riddle, you know, he has his issues, obviously.
Yeah, notice I didn't say poor Riddle. I said poor Randy. I did not say poor Riddle. Yeah. Well, I mean, maybe it is poor Riddle, and we just don't know. It could be something going on that. Maybe poor Riddle. Maybe I was being, I wasn't being nice there. I should have thought poor Riddle as well.
Listen, sometimes you look at guys that never make it to WWE that you absolutely, they're beloved, or a guy that never got that big push that they wanted to, and you wonder why. Like, it's sometimes what goes on in the back and what they know that we don't. And Riddle might be one of those examples, you know? I don't think they have buyer's remorse, but it has caused them a lot of headache.
Yeah, absolutely. I would say the only thing that's kind of intrigued me, it's kind of piqued my interest, is the Gunther stuff. Like, he is a sort of top guy there, right?
Like, naturally, he's getting over.
When he wrestles, it feels important. And when he wrestles in his Walter style, it almost feels like I'm not watching WWE TV. It feels like I'm watching something else, which is kind of cool. Because most, you know, WWE style is very predictable. And, you know, if you've been watching WWE for a long time, you can kind of like see where each match is going because the storytelling is very similar. But when you watch a Gunther match, it's almost like, wow, this is WWE, except this Gunther thing here. It's like a little different. And I like that. And, you know, I will still hold out on whether or not they would go with someone like him, like all the way, like we're talking like, you know, possible title contender, because I feel like he deserves it and he's the goods, but he's not necessarily like the normal WWE superstar that you kind of go all the way with. So I'm very interested in what happens there. And then who knows if Vince does get creative, maybe it's not great for Gunther anymore, but so that's like, I know a lot of people think that this post Vince McMahon WWE is more interesting, or it just feels more exciting, or, you know, Triple H is bringing back all these guys who Vince had cut. I just sort of see, like, you know, it's just been kind of there for me, except for the Bloodline stuff. And I'm really looking forward to what happens come Royal Rumble, because as far as I'm concerned, the day after Royal Rumble kicks off the road to WrestleMania, and that's usually where things start happening. And right now, they're just kind of on a treadmill.
Yeah, they got another week of nothing until they start kicking it into high gear.
All right. We didn't really mean for WWE to dominate the show, but it's just there's so much stuff going on that this is the kind of stuff that interests us, you know, when we talk about business and such. Let's move over to AEW. And I was kind of interested in your thoughts. The Forum show was a pretty big show for them. It looked like, you know, the crowds have been great of late. The rating picked up a little bit, though, you know, still a little ways off from where they were. But for the first time since this Punk stuff, it really does feel like maybe they kind of bottomed out and they're kind of coming on their way back up. What do you think about where they are right now?
Yeah, I think the TV's been really solid all since the beginning of the year. You know, the last two weeks have been very good shows. I enjoy generally, it's rare for me to watch an AEW show. I could probably tell you the ones that I've never really liked. There's maybe like three or four shows that I was like, it was okay. They know the importance of making sure that their TV is hot. They're in a contract year and their parent and the company that owns that station is cutting the budget astronomically. So I know that they like, I don't think there's any fear that they're going to be cut off the network or get a really bad deal. I think they want a higher number, obviously, so they could do more. But Warner also is leaning on them a little bit more. Now, I know that there's rumors of a reality show coming out soon, and they're going to be doing more type of shows with talent in AEW. There's all these conversations happening. I think for Tony, the question is, okay, you have 2 hours on Wednesday. You got 1 hour on Friday. You have Ring of Honor also that you got to play with. You are, you know, you have your pay-per-views that you're looking to add more instead of the four. You're going to get a little bit more now. You know, how in bed do they want to be with you?
Mm-hmm.
I think for Tony, he needs to really prove that he could do something with a secondary show more than anything else also. You know, Rampage has been okay, whatever. You know, the numbers are not great. But you also have Ring of Honor that you need to get on TV. Sitting in Honor Club is not going to do anything for them. And obviously, this is a temporary solution until they could negotiate some sort of deal. But, you know, what is the answer here? Is the answer, and the other part is, what is the network going to want? Do they want a third hour of Dynamite? Because I know they did.
Yeah.
100% they wanted him to add a third hour, and he didn't. That's why they added Rampage. So, you know, when that money gets thrown at you, they're going to want something more. At a third hour, I don't know how that affects their TV. Maybe Tony could figure it out that nobody else has been able to. WCW couldn't figure it out, and Vince couldn't figure out how to do 3 hours of wrestling every week on one show. But I'm very curious as to how this changes the structure of their programming more than anything else. And their ratings are going to reflect what they ask for, what Warner Media asks back. Because if you're doing 2 hours and you're getting over 1 million viewers every week, they may turn around and say, oh, no, you know what? Let's add another hour to Rampage, or move Rampage, or let's give you a Saturday slot. Adding a third one may just be a compromise for more money, which it shouldn't be. I don't want.
Or
that.
Could you add a second hour to Rampage? I don't know. I don't think that's valuable, right? Because they're already struggling drawing for the 1 hour at that time, and so you wouldn't want to add. You're just adding a show that's going to go down even more if you add a second hour. Whenever they do the Battle of the Belts thing, it kind of frustrates me because I'm like, people don't watch Rampage, and now you ask them to watch a second hour of Rampage. Like, how is that a special show in any way? Yeah.
The problem is that time slot. So if you had 2 hours of Rampage, I think the conversation about talent not being presented on AEW TV consistently, there's a lot of stop and goes. You know, you'll see Claudio 1 week, and you won't see him for another week. You know, those kind of conversations. That'll be alleviated because you'll have more hours for programming for talent, but and which they do need. There has to be something else that they got to do. And unfortunately for the people that are on the side of don't add more hours, they're going to have to add more hours to get these guys seen. Yes. I don't want to see that extra hour on Wednesday.
No,
I think that show is so tight where when it ends, I never feel like, oh, man, this was 2 hours. Holy moly. I feel like it was, you know, it just went by perfectly.
What about
remorse watching it?
What about every week there's an overrun anywhere from 15 minutes to a half an hour?
Yeah, I mean, that would be interesting. You could do something cool like that. Or I don't know. You know, I've heard so many different pitches. I don't know what the right thing is. I don't think the answer is going to be adding a third hour unless they need more money. So I'm throwing a number here, right? And I can't remember the exact number. Let's say they're making $50 million a year right now, and they're looking for 100.
Mm-hmm.
They're not going to get that 100. But the compromise is, well, listen, 78 million will do if you add a third hour. You have to take it.
Yes.
I mean, there's no doubt in my mind they will have to take it because that's a lot of money. Or even if it's $10 million more dollars a year, you know, to add another hour. These are all scenarios that play a part here. What does that do to your Rampage taping? What does that do? You know, these are all things that happen. Maybe they add a fourth hour, Garrett. Someone's saying fourth, 4 hour Dynamite confirmed in the
till midnight.
That's when I quit. I quit. I'm done. I'm done with wrestling. See you guys. I'll leave it to the experts. I can't do this anymore. I maybe changing the days. They really wanted that Tuesday time slot. Remember?
Yeah.
TNT. Dynamite. So maybe you could do something on Tuesday, and now that opens up your, you know, another day. You only have so many days in a week. You're not going to be on a Monday, and you're not going to be on Thursday. So
here's a scenario. We just talked about the streaming thing. HBO Max, I think, just raised their prices, or they announced the price. I think it's like $16 a month now for HBO Max. Now, HBO Max and Discovery Plus are going to combine. I imagine.
Yeah.
Whatever that's, I think the rumor was it was just going to be called Max, like the combination of the two networks together. It was just going to be called Max. I imagine that's going to be $20 a month with the combination of both of those networks. Now, what if in this next rights deal, because they do want to juice the streaming network, you know, maybe one of the shows, whether it's Rampage or ROH, goes exclusive to the streamer, to whatever Discovery Plus and HBO Max becomes. That could be interesting, because now it's a little bit antithetical to what we were just talking about, which is Warner Brother Discovery sort of pulling back. I mean, they're trying to sell their entire music back catalog for $1 billion, right? They're trying to make up all that debt. But what if in part of that deal, where maybe AEW does get a bump, it's like, hey, we're going to give you guys a bump, but we also want some content on the streaming. And I mean, I don't know if the pay-per-views would ever go to the streamer, but I sure would be happier buying a pay-per-view on a really big streaming network than on Bleacher Report, like I currently do, which still is not great. So those are other options out there. But I imagine that their next deal, whatever it's going to be, there is going to be an angle for streaming. There has to be.
There has because, to be. No, 100%. There has to be.
Yeah.
Here we go. Here are the numbers here. Ready? SmackDown on Friday did 2.3 million viewers, a 0.55 in the demo. Rampage, 500,000. They did a 0.13 in the 18 to 49 demo. So, I mean, I think for that show, if they're sitting above a 500,000, it's a healthier, realistic number. I think when they dip into the fours, it gets a little scary. But the sixes is what they should kind of be at. I think if they were sitting around 620 to 680,000 viewers per week, the conversation that they're going to have with Warner Discovery is a very different discussion when they renegotiate the contracts. They have to they have to up that number. And, you know, is putting Jon Moxley on every weekend or putting a big match on, is that going to put you over the edge? I don't know. Maybe they need to make it must-see TV and have you think what's going to happen next, you know, rather than just announcing a match.
You know, I know Dynamite is the big show for them, and it should be. That's their moneymaker, and Rampage is the third hour, right? But you know what I would do with Rampage? And Tony Khan is, I'm not saying that he doesn't, like, he obviously is good at this, but I wonder what would happen.
Tell Tony what to do.
I'm not going to do that.
Tell him.
One thing I would do is I would lean towards putting some of the younger talent on Rampage and see if you can move that 18 to 49. I'm talking male and female talent, and see if you can move that 18 to 49, even though the audience number may be low because of that time slot. Maybe you can, you know, move that 18 to 49 number a little bit. But I would also target one main event program to be the Rampage program. Like, we started to see that with Moxley and Page a little bit. And I asked Dave on one of the shows a few weeks ago, I was like, why don't they just put that match? You're building it on both Diamond and Rampage. Put it on Rampage and see if you can juice a number. And maybe you can. And if you can, then you're like, oh, okay, like, this works. We put a main event thing that we're building on both shows and we put on Rampage, we can juice that number. And if it doesn't work, then you go, okay, like, that's just something that we're not going to
do. Remember, they did that. They did that for a while, and it did work. And it was working.
Like, that one of their big programs?
Well, they were putting a lot of these key matches on Rampage when Rampage started. Obviously, CM Punk opened that crazy number.
Yes,
but for the weeks after, at least 3 months, 6 months, they were trying to do that. But it was becoming a detriment to Dynamite.
Yeah.
And I always felt that. Like, I felt that CM Punk debuting on Rampage. I know why they did it, and it was the right move, but it definitely was a detriment to Dynamite. Because that would have been a mega, mega episode where, you know, it would have been this untouchable number for them.
Yes. Okay.
I mean, it's still an untouchable number on Rampage. It did fantastic. I agree with you, though. They need to do something. There needs to be something that brings you back every week, even if you don't know the match lineup.
100%. But I think the difference between this time period and the last time period is they have more main event programs than they had. And so if it doesn't even have to be your top program, right? If it's not Moxley and Hangman, maybe it's the Acclaimed and the Gun Brothers tag stuff. Maybe that is moved over to Rampage. Maybe it's the Young Bucks and Kenny and whoever, House of Black, whatever that the next team. Maybe the match and a lot of the storyline happens on Rampage just as an experiment. Yeah. Because, and then you look at Dynamite and you go, okay, let's make sure that we keep Dynamite stacked. You know, maybe we have to do some bigger segments on Dynamite that we maybe would save for every other week. Maybe we got to do them every week. But whatever it is, I just think you can ration it out a little bit better and make Rampage must-see. Because I liked Rampage this week, but if I was not a wrestling fan or if I was not doing what we do, I would have skipped it because there was nothing that was super intriguing. But then I got, you know, I got the gift of that crazy women's
the
match.
Bloodbath.
Bloodbath.
My God.
Ruby Soho just looking like, the Nature Boy Ric Flair.
How did you feel about that? Was it too much?
I actually loved it.
I have to tell you, I'm not a hardcore wrestling guy. Like, I don't poo-poo on it. Like, whatever. Yeah. If you like the deathmatch stuff, good for you. That's your thing. Great. Content is content. I'm not into everything. I don't have to be in love with all aspects of pro wrestling. However, I actually enjoyed that match. Mm-hmm. I didn't dislike that. I didn't think it was
Thought
too
it was
much.
Good.
I mean, is it too much blood? Yeah, it's a lot of blood. Tons of blood.
The idea of blood is to use the blood to get the story and the wrestler over. When is the last time Ruby Soho felt like people paid attention to her?
When's the last time we mentioned her name on the show?
Right.
I can't even.
You know, it's a little bit of smoke and mirrors, but smoke and mirrors is everything in wrestling sometimes, right? Like, you know, Daniel Bryan and Takeshita, like, that's the in-ring. But that's not often the case. You don't often get that kind of stuff. And so the match was solid. You know, the Anna Jay thing was a little frustrating because poor Willow put her up in that power bomb and she couldn't see and she overshot it. And that was scary. But, you know, when Ruby with that, like that was something to see and to check out. And for the guys who are like, no, you know, we don't want to see the women wrestlers, you know, in despair. Like, come on, like who are you saving? This is about equality here. Like, let's make sure.
So
that
I was away this weekend. I wasn't around this weekend, but was it that it was too much blood, or was that they don't like that the women are bleeding?
You know what? I have been able to correctly make sure that my Twitter does not have a lot of that on it. So I didn't see it, but I could see what my friends were sort of replying to. And it sure seemed like it was like, these women bleeding, it's not cool. And X, Y, and Z. So
like, I don't want to see it every week.
I don't want to see dudes bleeding every week either.
I don't want to see it because I think it should be used to tell the story. It shouldn't be used as like a chair shot. Like how chair shots were used 20 years ago.
It's always the follow-up now, right? This is one of the bigger complaints about Tony Khan's booking, which is, okay, you got something. Now what's the follow-up? It's got to be better than what we just saw in order for Ruby to continue to, you know, to get stuff off of it. This was a pretty crazy show. I literally wrote down like two things and we just went. Like I looked at my notes once this entire show to make sure I stayed on the two topics that I wrote down. So this is when you know that we're kind of humming with this conversation where I don't even have to barely look at notes. But unfortunately, we got to run because Lance is coming on. Lance and Brian.
Lance is coming on. Yeah.
And he's
I got to actually, come in I got to message Lance. It's 5 o'clock. We got to go.
We got to go. All right. We'll be back next week. And I think we'll have a guest next week to preview the Royal Rumble. I won't spoil that yet. So for Andrew, I'm Double G. We'll see you when we see you. Peace out.